If not, again, we want to thank you all for being here. But I want to thank the Lord for this, the special service, for the special person that's been set aside, and that's Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior. He's the most special person that's in our midst today. I want to take a reading lesson that'll come from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we will begin with verse 12. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. This may be the very first sermon that was preached after Jesus went back to be with his Father. After he had walked on the face of the earth for 40 days, we find that the church had met together, just a small congregation of about 120 gathered up in an upper room. And then they went out in the streets of Jerusalem and they began to preach the gospel. And this is the sermon that Peter preached on that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 12. It says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is about the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That word prophesy means to public expound. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear ye these words." Listen real close. It says, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by himself in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He said, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest." He says, rest in hope, "because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life." And he says, "thou shalt make full of joy with thy countenance." He said, "men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with him an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, set thou on the right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, he said, both Lord and Christ. Now, I know that was a lengthy reading lesson today, but I was just amazed that Peter, when he began to preach this sermon on the day of Pentecost, the thing that he mostly wanted to convey to the people is that we serve a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, when he got ready to preach, there was all this commotion going on, and there was these people that were speaking in native tongues and hearing the gospel in their native tongues and all these things that were going on of the Jews, devout Jews from all over the world, and they were hearing the gospel, and they were hearing Peter preach the gospel to them. And when they started noticing it, they said, they asked a question. Did you notice what it says? It says, what meaneth this? What meaneth these things? What meaneth this thing that's going on? In other words, what does all of this mean? For us that are saved by the grace of God, there's a great meaning to be learned today. Because you see, because of the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, there's at least four benefits that we glean from the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And I want to convey those things today, as Jesus Christ is the most special person that has ever walked on the face of the earth. He's the most special person that's ever existed. And today, I just want to lift up his name, Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. The four things that I want us to bring forth today that God laid upon my heart is this, and I'm going to slow down just a little bit. Sometimes I get excited and I speak a little bit too fast, so I'm going to slow down because I want you to get these things. Number one, our sins can now be forgiven. Because Jesus died on the cross, because he was buried and he rose again and he ascended back to the Father, now our sins can be forgiven. Hold that thought for just a little while. Number two, our eternal hope is secure. And you say, how is it secure? All of these things are possible or made possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Number three, our way back to God. Our way back to God is made complete with repentance. There's something that's required of us, and that's repentance. But when you repent of your sins, you have the way completed back to God because of the resurrection. And number four, he lives. He lives. And because he lives, you and I can live eternally with God. Now, the first thing I said in our reading lesson today and the thought that I had is our sins can now be forgiven. You see, up to that point when Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and at the right hand of the Father, you know what? They tried every which way to offer a sacrifice for sin. But you know what it says in the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter? Turn with us over there. You see, I'm just not going to tell you these things without being able to back them up by the scriptures. But it tells us in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, as we notice this benefit today, our sins can now be forgiven. It tells us in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and let's look at verse 4. It says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, who came into the world? That little baby Jesus came into the world. And he was born of a virgin birth. And when he came into the world, he did not inherit Adam's sinful nature, because the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, brought him into the world. And therefore, when he was brought into the world, listen to what happened. Wherefore, when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. He said, but a body hast thou prepared me. So Jesus' body was prepared. God prepared a body to come into the world. For what purpose? Let's read on. He said, in burnt offerings and sacrifice, for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, he says, I come in the volume of the book of written of me to do the will of God. He says above when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do the will of my God. He taketh away the first, he said, that he may establish the second, by which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see, when Jesus died, when he was buried, when he was resurrected, he did it once for all, and it will never have to be redone. Never will it be redone. Now listen what he said in verse 12. He says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He said, from henceforth, expecting to make till his enemy be made his footstool. He said, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In other words, set apart, separated, you see, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he has said before, he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. He said, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them down. And he said, in their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So the reason that we can say this today, that Jesus is a resurrected Savior and our sins can now be forgiven. You say, but Brother Spurgeon, what about those before Christ? I'll tell you, the blood of Christ, they looked to the fact that Jesus was coming. That's why it says, lo, I'm written in the volume of the book of the Old Testament. And we look back to Jesus and what he did. Whether you're in the Old Testament time or New Testament time, I'll tell you, we all come through the same way, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he established that. Now, you know what Peter tells us? Peter tells us that our eternal hope is secured in the resurrection. And it is. We preach an eternal security. We preach that Jesus Christ, when he died once and never have to do that again. And when a person repents of their sin, God writes their law in their heart, you see, and in their mind. And nobody else has to tell you that. The Holy Spirit will do that. And when he tells you that you're saved, and you know, when I got saved, I got that kind of salvation that he was telling Nicodemus about. And you know what that is? It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll tell you, it's time that we take notice that we've got everlasting life. This life here is temporary. We go through pains and trials and agonies and heartaches, but we're going to a place that Jesus went to prepare for each and every one of us. And this is what Peter said about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look over there for just a moment of time. 1 Peter chapter 1, to validate our eternal hope is secured in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And listen to what it says. It says in verse 3, let's look at verse 1. Let's look at who Peter's talking about. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, grace be multiplied unto you. And he says, a grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Then he says in verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us into a lively hope. A
lively hope, he says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He goes on to say, who are kept by the power of God. I told you that resurrection was powerful because Jesus was resurrected and at the right hand of the God. He says, we are kept by the power of God, and we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, he said, though it be tried in fire, might be found in the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, he says, ye love. He said, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, even the salvation of your soul. And did you see what Peter said? He said, we've got a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so today, our eternal hope is secure in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior. Now, the third thing I wanted to talk to you for just a moment, he said, our way back. Our way back to God is made complete after repentance. And we know that because it tells us in the Colossian letter, it addresses that. In Colossians chapter 2, I want you to notice what it says, beginning with verse number 9. He says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who? In Christ Jesus. He's God, manifest in the flesh. He's the Son of God, and not only the Son of God, the Bible teaches us he's the only begotten Son of God. There's only one and only. You know, there's a lot of people that's not celebrating this resurrection Easter Sunday. You know why? Because they don't believe in one true God. Let me tell you, there's only one true living God, and he put that lively hope in every one of us. Now listen, not only did he say that we dwell in the Godhead bodily, but listen, look at verse 10. He says, and ye are complete. Did you notice that? The word complete is only in the Bible three times. Did you know that? It's in the book of Leviticus. It's twice in the book of Colossians. And here we find it in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. The other place you'll find it is Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. But you'll find the word complete only three times in the King James Version of the Bible. Now you know what the word complete means? I like this. It comes from a Greek word, P-L-E-R-O-O. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but I would pronounce that plural, plural, plero, or pleru. But that's not important. You know what it means? It means to fill up. It means to fill up. You see, Jesus, when he said, Father, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But you know what he said? He says, not my will, but thy will be done. And he took that cup and he filled it up with all the sin that everybody committed before he was born, and every sin that everybody's committing today, and every sin that everybody is going to commit for the rest of their life. He made it complete. And so it means to fill up or to feel full to the brim. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get full to the brim. You know why? Because I know that my salvation is complete. You say, but Brother Spurgeon, you're still here. Oh, I know. I know, but you know what? I've got an inheritance, Brother Banger. You've got an inheritance. We've got an inheritance that's awaiting for each and every one of us. And the reason that we know that it's right there is because of what we're honoring today. We're honoring a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at what the Colossian letter says. He says, and ye are complete in Him. I'm not complete myself. I'm not complete the church. I'm complete in Jesus Christ. You know why? Tell us more, Paul. He says, which is the head of the principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. He said, by the circumcision of Christ. Look here in verse 12. He says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with Him through faith of the operation of God. Now that operation is an operation of the heart. I'm not talking about a heart in a man. I'm talking about the soul of a man. When God performs an operation in your heart, then it is completely filled up with the Holy Spirit and sealed into the day of redemption. And the reason it's complete is because Jesus come up out of the grave. And now listen, how do we know that? Because He says, and you, being dead in your sins, He said, and the uncircumcision of the flesh, hath He quickened or made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, He said, which was contrary to us, and He took it out of the way, nailing it, our sins, to His cross. And after He nailed it to the cross, you know what he tells us? That after He did that, that the Bible tells us, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show unto them openly, triumphing over them in it. How did He triumph over it? You see, everybody thought He was dead. Everybody thought He was going to be there, and they said, we're going to keep Him in that tomb. He says, we're going to seal it up, and there ain't no way He's going to get out. But you know what happened? He was there 3 days and three nights, and on that third morning they went. They didn't even have to roll away the stone. It was already moved out of the way, and when they looked in there, He was gone. He was gone. Why? The Bible says He's alive. That's why. And so today, our way back to God is made complete when a person repents of their sins and God writes His law in your heart, then you know you got it. If you don't know you got it, seek the Lord until you get it. Until you know that you got it. If you don't hear anything today, make sure you got it. How will you know you got it? A lot of people say, how do you know you're lost? Well, you'll feel convicted. You'll feel just terrible. You'll feel a heavy burden. But you say, well, how do you know when you're saved? I'll tell you, that burden will be lifted off of you, and He'll replace it with peace in your heart. And when He does, you can say, when a message like this was preached when I was a kid, I just want to get out of there and go hunt Easter eggs. You know, that's what we did. But you know what? Then I got saved. And now I like to just sit down and sup. And I like to sit down and just take in what Jesus did for me. And when I do, I feel so little. But then the Apostle Paul, he tried to encourage us, you know that? Because there's a lot of people outside of these walls that are miserable. You know why they're miserable? They're miserable because they've not come face to face with the fact that Jesus Christ lives. He's alive. And it tells us in the book of First Corinthians chapter 15, and believe it or not, I'm going to be done after this, if the Lord will let me. If not, well, just get up and stretch if you need to, but listen to what it says. In the 15th chapter of the book of Corinthians, I want to turn over there, and I want to read this in the verse 19. In verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope. If all it was just this life, he said, if it's all that we had, and I can honestly say it's been a good life. It's not been perfect. I haven't been perfect. I've sinned, and I've done many things that I wish I didn't do. But God has been faithful to forgive. But if it was just only this life, he said, if in this life only we had hope in Christ, we'd be of all men, he said, most miserable. But now it's Christ risen. But now Christ is risen. And because He's risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept, For since by man, he said, came death, but by the man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam we all die, but listen to this. He said, in Adam we all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Are ye in Christ? Oh, that resurrection of Jesus Christ is so special today. He lives. He lives. How do you know He lives? Because He lives within my heart. Today, don't let the day pass you by without at least thanking the special person that made this day possible. And thank Him for that resurrected, for Savior who's at the right hand of the Father to intercede on your behalf. Today, I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for me, praying for each other. And if you've not been saved, would you please steal away and pray until that you know that you know that you're saved. Some people say, well, maybe Christ died in vain. He didn't die in vain. There's going to be a lot of people that just won't come to Him, that are going to reject Him. But listen, He still has outstretched arms saying, I love you, please come to me. And if you're here and you're lost and you've never been saved, before you draw that last breath, the Bible says that, you know, God winked at the ignorance of man, but He's commanded all men everywhere to repent. And so today, when you repent to God's satisfaction, I think you'll have a better understanding of what the resurrection of Jesus Christ really means. Thank you for listening to us today. Do you have a song? And we'll come around and shake hands. And if you're here and you're lost and you want to come and seek the Lord, come and pray while you've got this opportunity. That's what this bench is for. We call it the Lord's bench. You come and pour out your heart to God. If you're troubled in soul, I would strongly encourage you to do that. And when you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you seek the Lord, and you come to the end of the prayer, and you feel like you're just as helpless as you know, you need help more than anything. Only God can help you. And when He does, and you reach that point where you just turn it all over to Him, peace will come in your heart. At least it did for me. I assume that's what it did for you. Because I only know about me, and you know about you. But if you don't have that time and place, seek the Lord until you know that you know that you're saved. Let us sing. The altar's open. Everybody just mind the Lord in the rest of this service.
154. He's already here. testimony, anything on your heart today?
It's been good to be here today. It's nice to be back. Glad that my nieces and my great nephew and great niece are here, and everybody that's here.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Michelle. We miss you when you're not here. Bless you. Someone else.
Put their faith in,
yes,
had died. 3 days. And people argue about whether it's on Friday or Wednesday, and the fact is that for 3 days he was in the tomb.
Yes.
And there was nothing that sparked anything within them to make them think that there was hope. And we all have times in our life, even after we're saved,
that's right,
that it seems like things are hopeless. And I don't want to just, you know, hinge everything on what I've gone through the last 8 months, but there was a 3-day period in one of my intensive care studies in the hospital that I just didn't see anything get any better. And I just prayed, Lord, if it's not going to get any better, just take me home. I'm ready to go. But I didn't see anything better in this life right then. I told somebody just recently, and I've kind of kept this myself for the last 2 days, actually, that during that time I didn't see any bright light, I didn't see a long hallway, I didn't see anything that looked like it was taking me to heaven. And that even made me question, so is this real? Because I've heard those stories for so many people. It wasn't until later that I realized the Lord's not through with me yet, so it wasn't time for me to go.
Yes.
But there was a darkness there. And I think I told you this, that there was a time that I couldn't pray for anybody else, and that was so unlike me. All I could concentrate on was my situation. And even the people that was in intensive care around me, I just didn't think about me. If there was brightness that came, just like with the resurrection.
Yes.
But even when they were first told he's risen.
Yeah.
What? This couldn't be. That's not the way things are. You die and you're there. You know?
That's right.
And so they had to investigate. And they found that his body was gone. Where was he? And then he appeared to them.
Amen.
And a week later, when Thomas showed up.
That's right.
He didn't come that first Sunday, that first Lord's Day. But he was so sure that everything was all over with as far as what they had gone through. And he showed up next Sunday, next Lord's Day. He said, I don't believe I see those nail scars.
Right.
I see that spear pierced side. Sometimes we look for the signs, we look for some proof. We're not told if he ever touched those nail scarred hands or put his hands at the side of the Lord, even though he was invited to with the Lord. But when he saw him, my Lord,
amen.
Those are signs of darkness.
Yes.
And he appears.
Amen.
And it's just as real as it ever was.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that he's seen me through to this point, and I look forward to being able to be back in the pulpit preach. I look forward to being able to resume things that I normally did. And there's been setbacks, and there's been good times, but I'm just thankful that I have an opportunity again to be in the house of the Lord. Say thank you, Jesus. I've had 11 hospital stays since July. Most of them in Centennial and Nashville. I walked the halls a lot. I talked to the Lord a lot. Of course, I talked to him even where it was. But there was one special place on the fourth floor where I spent a lot of my time. But I got over to the atrium. place, there weren't any rooms down there, so nobody went down there hardly except hospital staff. And I'd look over to that and I'd pray.
Amen.
I always look forward to getting there to pray. And I was singing there. I didn't sing too loud, but I didn't want to disturb anybody. As a matter of fact, I'd sing sometimes just walking down the hall and just sing softly. It's hard for me to sing softly. But of all the songs that I knew, son, with the medicine I was taking, a lot of times I couldn't remember. And I just had little bits and pieces. But there was one song that just kept coming to me, and I kept singing. Because there's parts of it, it's just the way that I felt. I'm still singing, walking back and forth in the house, trying to my exercise.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must travel on till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as fair as the day.
Amen.
Oh, yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace. For me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sickness, no trouble I'll see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf, well, he'll be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb, oh yeah. And I'll be changed.
Yes.
There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, O Lord, I pray. There'll be sickness, no sadness, oh my Lord, no trouble I'll see. There will be peace in the valley. I said there will be peace in the valley.
Being here to sing for us and just your very presence has been a blessing to all of us. Anybody else?
I want to thank the Lord for saving me from with that 2-year-old girl in Blue River Church. Her brother Frank Carlos.
Bless you, Sister Kathy. that testimony. Someone else. All hearts and minds are at liberty. We won't have service this evening, so just remember that. Do pray. Come back Wednesday night, if at all possible, to support Brother Paul Wasu from Valley, West Africa. Pastor Ben Cuddle, the church there. And I've had the privilege of preaching at the school that he has a lot of students at. So he's a very special friend of me. All hearts and minds at liberty. We'll ask Brother Macker if he will stand together.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this day, for this privilege, for this opportunity. We're thankful that we have a risen Savior.
Yes.
That lives within my heart. We're thankful for this day that we celebrate it. Your word doesn't tell us to make a celebration for the time of his birth or even his death, but to give memorial through the church in communion. We're just thankful, though, Lord, that by the understanding of time, we can realize when the actual time was for his resurrection,
yes,
for his death. That time was spent in the grave where there was darkness. Oh, it was a glorious light that came with his coming forth from the grave, overcoming death and hell in the grave. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have a knowledge in our heart, something that we know for sure about.
Yes.
Something that we don't have to guess at, something that is not just planted in our mind, but is sealed in our heart. Lord, we're thankful that we got a God that talks back to us, too. We're thankful for the times you've spoken to us in so many ways that you've revealed yourself to us. We're thankful, Lord, for the message that we heard today. We're thankful for this people, for this church. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to have a little part in the history of the progress of this church. But Lord, whatever that we've done is nothing. We give the honor and the glory to you. Lord, just for the friendships that we have, for the love that we have among this people, we're thankful. We're thankful, Lord, for so many things. And Lord, we just look for you for our help in days yet to come.
Yes.
That we might walk in the right manner in your sight. We might be an inspiration to somebody. That they might look and see Jesus. That his name might be lifted and draw all men unto him. Oh God, take us in your loving kind care as we leave this place today. Help us to enjoy time together with family and with friends. Help us, Lord, to celebrate you in all things that we do. Lord, again, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go with us in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
She said, make sure.